Will Russell Wilson have a contract extension? Maybe that's the bigger question. How good will Seattle be? Brady Henderson from 710 ESPN joins us as we start our NFL training camp tours. Brady, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm on Russell Wilson watch, just like seemingly everybody around here. We're kind of coming down the home stretch right now, so interesting time for the Seahawks and for their quarterback.
It is very interesting because I look at him and yet the team wins. There's no debating that. When you look at his numbers straight up as a passer, everything else against the elite quarterbacks, it doesn't really match up, but he wants to get paid like one. Do you think he can become one of those guys? And is it just the system that he's in has limited him from showing how good of a passer he could be? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the latter is very possible. People all the time sort of knock Russell Wilson for what he isn't. And it's not that he isn't that or he can't do that. It's just that he hasn't really been asked to do that. This is a team that makes no secret about the fact that it's built around its running game and its defense. And its quarterback is, I don't want to say marginalized, but it's not going to have the same role as somebody like Aaron Rodgers or Phillip Rivers or whoever else, those sort of high-volume passers. But that's not necessarily, people like to think of that as an indictment on Russell Wilson and a reflection of, some inability to do so. And I don't think it's the case. I think it's just the way that Pete Carroll and the Seahawks want to play football. And in fact, there have been some instances where Russell Wilson has had to put that offense on his back, where sort of the nature of the game and the situation has dictated that. There's an overtime game against Chicago. Overtime game against Chicago, I should say, his rookie season, where he put the team on his back. The playoff game, the playoff loss to Atlanta that year, I think he was well over 350 yards passing. There's been several cases where he's shown that he can do that. It's just not something that the Seahawks, that's not how the Seahawks want to run their offense.
Well, Brady, you know the old saying is, just win, baby. And a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who plays the system the way it's meant to be played and the coach wants it played, and finds a way to win, even if the personal stats aren't there, I'll take that guy 99 times out of 100 over the guy with the big arm and the big stats who doesn't have as many W's at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. It's hard to argue with the results, and a lot of that has been, what I will say is that take a look at the overall record. Now, half of that is Seattle's defense, and I'm not really a big fan of the whole stat about, he has such and such head-to-head record against the game's top quarterbacks. That is sort of misleading because half of the equation is Seattle's defense shutting those elite quarterbacks down and then Wilson doing his part. But to your point, yeah, I would agree with that. It is that, it's hard to knock the guy for doing something that's, got them to back-to-back Super Bowls, including one victory.
Russell Wilson, though, not the only guy with contract issues. The Legion of Boom has a few guys. Chancellor, I guess let's start with him talking about holding out for an extended period of time. What do you make of Chancellor, and how important is he to that defense?
He's very important. And, we were having this conversation earlier. There's, a number of guys where you just really – you don't want to imagine what their defense would be or what their team would be without those guys because they're that important. I think Chancellor is one of those guys. And as far as his reported contract dispute, it's interesting how when he signed that deal, I think before the 2013 season, that was considered a very, very good deal for him. And as you see, this is sort of what happens with the salary cap increasing, $20 million since then, is that deals that looked good then, all of a sudden they don't look as great. And, Chancellor, he's sort of a player who's really played hurt. I think his average remaining salaries over the final 3 years of that deal aren't as great. So it seems ridiculous for a guy to be, on the surface, I should say, it seems ridiculous for a guy to be asking for more money 2 years after he just signed a deal that has 3 years left on it. But I think with Chancellor, you can sort of see where he's coming from. Now, I don't think the Seahawks will, nor should they, give him anything else, because then you start getting into a precedent. And if you do it this year, then all of a sudden our Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas next year are going to come back and start asking for money. So it's sort of a dangerous precedent to set, and I don't think the Seahawks will. But I can sort of see why Chancellor would want to get his money, especially considering the way he plays. He's been banged up. I just don't think it will happen.
Brady, when you look at the roster going into camp from top to bottom, is there one area – where you look and go, I don't know if it's good enough, or I don't know if it's deep enough. Because this is an awful good team, and if they get the deals done and have everybody there, they look to be set again. But is there any potential weaknesses there?
There's two areas that come to mind. The first is the offensive line, because they did lose two starters from last year. They let left guard James Carpenter walk in free agency, understandably so, considering the deal that he got from the Jets. Then they traded Max Unger, their Pro Bowl center. And behind them is, I think the projected starter right now at left guard is Alvin Bailey, who's an undrafted guy in 2013. He's been sort of the sort of fill-in guy along different spots. So he's sort of an unknown going forward. They have a couple guys competing to replace Unger at center, and I think there's a little bit more experience there, just because Unger has been hurt the last few years, and those guys have had a chance to kind of play center on a fill-in basis. But you know, any way you slice it, you're still breaking in two new starters, and we all know how important continuity is along the offensive line. The other area I would point to is cornerback, and not so much the top end guys, because obviously they have Richard Sherman coming back, and I think that Kerry Williams, I don't know if there's going to be that big of a drop off from Byron Maxwell and Kerry Williams. The question I have is what kind of depth do they have behind those guys? Because we've seen, I mentioned the free agent attrition, that's really hit them in the secondary. There's been a lot of cornerbacks that they've lost. You talk about Brandon Browner, Walter Thurmond, and now Byron Maxwell earlier this offseason. And there's not a whole lot of proven backups behind those guys. They've got some younger players and some inexperienced players, like Thurl Timon comes to mind. And if you remember the Super Bowl, he didn't fare all that well in the Super Bowl. I know they expect a lot more out of him going forward, but you know, there's not a whole lot to go off of right now. So those would be the two areas that I would point to, the offensive line and the depth at cornerback.
Jimmy Graham, of course, that's the biggest offseason acquisition for the Seahawks. And I know we had Luke Wilson on our station. He was talking about expecting some double tight end sets a little bit more, and you know, feels that Graham might free him up a little bit. How will Graham impact their overall passing game, even as the wide receivers?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I always go back to is a couple of years ago when they traded for Percy Harvin, everybody thought, and understandably so, that this is going to really change their offense. And it actually, it changed their offense. It almost was to the detriment of their offense, because they had to change what they were doing. If you remember, a lot of the times that they got Harvin the ball, it was always behind the line of scrimmage. It was never really as a traditional wide receiver. They were sort of tweaking their offense, and it just didn't work out. And I think with Graham, he seems like much more of a guy you can plug into what you already do and just expect better results, because he's just such a matchup nightmare. He's so big. He's got the great leaping ability, catch radius. He's such a threat in the red zone. I think it's really going to help their passing game, obviously. Now, in theory, it should help their running game, too, because you talk about the attention that he draws from a defensive standpoint. Now, I say in theory because, again, I mentioned Percy Harvin. This was the same kind of conversation we had about Harvin, with his speed and what that could do to a defense. It didn't really work out that way. Again, I think that was more of a product of how he was used. But in theory, Jimmy Graham should open up a lot of things, not just in their passing game, but in their running game too.
Brady, we're talking about, you mentioned the offensive line as a potential trouble spot. And I guess the natural reaction is to think of how is that going to affect Russell Wilson in the passing game. How are the questions going to affect Marshawn Lynch in the running game?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it would be easy to assume that, maybe you would expect a little bit of a drop-off there. Now, the one thing I would say is that, he had another fantastic year last year, and that was with Max Unger missing. I think Max Unger only played in five games, and they had three different centers playing behind him. Carpenter missed a game. So those guys do have experience, and I also think that Lynch is one of those guys who he doesn't need a perfect hole to run through. Yeah, what I always say about him is some of his most impressive runs are runs in which he just gets back to the line of scrimmage or gains 1 yard on a play that seemed, buried in the backfield. Maybe it will hurt them, and maybe they will have some kind of growing pains as they sort of gain continuity. But I think with regards to Lynch, he's not somebody that's going to need that wide open hole to run through, just because he's so physical, he's so good at breaking tackles.
Brady Henderson joins us from 710 ESPN. Brady, if you look at the division right now, the Rams, 49ers, and Cardinals, the 49ers, you know, that was the big competition for the last few years. They're kind of a mess. Who do you see as the toughest competition, or is there really any competition for the Seahawks in the NFC West as far as it comes to winning the division?
Yeah, I think, the like you said, I wouldn't. Really, it's hard to imagine the 49ers doing anything of significance this season just because of all the players they've lost, and not to mention their head coach. You know, the Seahawks have had control of this division for the last couple of years, but they have had some really tough games with St. Louis and with Arizona. St. Louis, in fact, beat them at home last year, and that's always been a really close game just because that and I think the reason for that is that St. Louis's front seven has really given Seattle a lot of issues in terms of pass protection, and then Arizona has a really good defense as well. So there was, you know, the last time that they played Seattle and Arizona, it was a blowout win for Seattle on the road. But heading into that game, there was some thought that the Seahawks could lose that game because of how tight it was the previous time that they played. They've got Carson Palmer coming back from the injury. They still have a really good defense, one of the better defenses in the NFL. So I think that the Seahawks will win the division. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as some people might getting by those two teams.
And Brady, one of the things that goes into it when a team's as successful as the Seahawks, in a sense, you're sometimes playing against yourself. Don't get satisfied. Don't get complacent because everybody wants to knock you off. I would imagine that comes out in the odd talk as well once we get rolling here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the brilliant parts about Pete Carroll as a head coach is that he doesn't talk about, hey, we need to get up extra for this game, or we need to really step our game up this time. His whole approach is that, look, treat every game, and it sounds cliche, and he says it all the time, and we hear it all the time, but treat every game like a championship opportunity. And I think that there's a real nice message there, which is that, you know, if you're going to treat some game extra important, that means you're not treating another game as important. So his whole thing is sort of an even-keeled approach, and it's really worked out well for him. You look at a number of the big games that they've won, a lot of the primetime games where the spotlight is, you know, a lot brighter and whatnot, and, you know, they've been really good in those games. So I think the tendency might be to think that, and maybe they have to kind of guard against that, especially given what happened last year. But I think that Pete Carroll teaches them to sort of avoid that thinking.
It's going to be an interesting season. What's your prediction on Russell Wilson?
Well, we're like I mentioned, we're coming down the home stretch here. If you would have asked me a couple of days ago, I would have probably leaned towards the side of getting a deal done just because there's so much financial incentive for him to do so. You know, you're talking about giving up $20 million in the bank this year, and just think about how long it would take for him to make that back up if he's only going to be making a million or two more on whatever deal he signs next year. Financially, it makes sense for him to get a deal done. I just don't know if maybe at this point it's about principle. So, you know, we'll see. We got a few more hours left. And I will say this, that the deadline is that's a sort of self-imposed deadline. So there isn't really anything to stop them from getting a deal done later if they wanted to. Maybe that was more about just trying to spur action from one side or the other. Maybe it's an actual deadline, maybe not. We'll see. It's hard for me to say at this point, but we are running out of time.
Brady, always good to talk to you, man. Enjoy covering Wilson, because I'm sure that story won't get old for you soon.
No, never.